Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mindful You podcast. My name is Alan Carroll, and I'm your host who has the pleasure of traveling with you down a mindful experience with guests who are guiding us with their flashlights and shining it on things that they have discovered and tools that they use. Today's guest, John C. Morley. I would say colorful, extroverted, a business serial entrepreneur, likes the business, likes the sales, likes that energy, likes the passion of creation. He describes himself as a podcast host. He is a talk show, a national radio talk show host. And he has all these exterior forms that he does and manifests things with a lot of energy and enthusiasm. And yet, in the background, he's using energy and has been a learner, a book reader, and in the metaphysical books, in the self-help books, and the books that you use for meditation. And so he was able, when we chatted and talked, to weave in what I would call spiritual insights that allowed him to manifest things in the physical world. And so it was exciting to see someone who can access the energy resources and also produce results and use the two together and hear some of his wisdom. So, please welcome to the Mindful You podcast, John C. Morley. And we're going to pick up the podcast with a question I asked to him about mindfulness. So, it's fun. Enjoy the journey with John C. Morley. Welcome, John, to the Mindful You podcast. And I'm a little curious because when I read your bio
Sure.
and I looked at all the things that you've done in the media and all the conversations that you have, I'm very impressed. I'm jealous and
Thank you
all
very
those
much, Alan.
things. It's really nice. And I'm wondering how we are connected with the mindful string of thought, because this is our audience is the mindfulness folks looking at the physical reality, the metaphysical reality. What are the bridges that you can
So
build between?
I can answer that if you like.
Okay.
So, as you know, I'm an engineer. But there's probably no
Engineer.
connection between an engineer and this. They're like two totally different worlds. In fact, people tell me, John, you kind of embarrass the engineers because you're not supposed to be talking to people. You're not supposed to be polite. You're not supposed to have a personality. When I graduated college, or I should say just before I graduated college, it was, I think it was in my senior year, my junior year, I was vice president of finance of the school, and I also was president of presidential council. So in one of my roles as vice president of finance, they said, "Hey, John, we need you to just dole out some checks. By the way, they're already approved. All we need you to do is basically just, just hand them out. How much? Oh, don't worry about the money. They're already approved." I said, "Well, I'm just curious, what am I giving them? You're giving two checks of $10,000. I said, "Okay, can I ask what they're for?" "Oh, yeah, it's just for some guy on stage." "How long is he going to be with us?" "Oh, 90 minutes." So we're paying this guy $20,000 for 90 minutes. "Who is the guy?" "Oh, yeah, he's somebody in Connecticut. He goes to all schools and stuff." I said, "Well, can I get along?" "Yeah, just talk at the office. They have all the information." "All right." They made all the decision. They approved it. They signed it. So I do some research on this guy. I'll just skip ahead. So I get to the show, and I won't mention his name. I think he retired now. I went to the show, and I said to him, "Sir," I said, "you don't know me." I said, "My name is John C. Morley." I said, "I'm a vice president of finance. I'm also president of council here, and I was asked to bequeath you one of these checks and a second one." I said, "Let me be very clear with you. I've done my homework on you. All right, I know what you do." I said, "And what you do is you basically embarrass people on the stage." I said, "So let me be very clear with you. You're not going to embarrass me or anybody in the administration in the front row. Am I clear? Because if you do, you see this check that you're getting will bounce so high you won't even see where it goes. And if you don't care about the first check, you're never getting the second check. And if money doesn't bother you because you have so many other gigs, I happen to be friends with Harvard, Yale, and all the schools, and I know all the tours you're getting. And don't be surprised if 1 week before they all cancel before the tour, you'll have nowhere to go. Am I clear?" He goes, "Crystal, have a wonderful show." So we start the show. I give him the 10,000. He starts. He embarrasses some of the kids and stuff. They come up on stage with lemons. So anyway, he's a psychologist. So this intrigued me, Alan. And I said, I'm graduating very soon, this year, next year. I think it was next year. I was a junior. And I said, "I know a lot about life, but I don't know a lot about the body. This is a language I don't know. Maybe I should embrace this." So after his show, I decided to call him up. I got his CD book and all kinds of stuff. Then I took the Silva method. Then I got more enthralled because that didn't work. And what enticed me with Silva was you pay one price and you could take it for life, as many times as you want.
This is the Silva mind
The
control.
Silva mind control method, yes. And
Oh,
then I
yeah.
took the ESP method. And I've led courses and things like that. So then I got very involved in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, got certified with that. Decided I wanted to go further and got my credentials in psychology for hypnosis. And so I wanted to do that. So this all sprung because people said to me, "John, you can't do this. You can't do that." And I was like tired of that. And so I used this technique to manifest one of my first luxury cars. And then what happened after that is about, you probably read one of my articles, How and Why I Fired a Multi-Million Dollar Advertising Company. See, I wasn't always passionate about content. I wasn't even known as a writer back then, or even a videographer. I love video, but I never got into it.
Yeah.
So I said, "Okay, these people can't even print their way." And I say, literally, through a paper bag. It's supposed to be a multi-billion dollar company. They make mistakes. They don't have their own print shop. I said, "This is like horse nonsense." So I decided I got to fire them. But how do you fire somebody that you're married at the hip with? How do you do that? Like, you're so connected. They don't know what they're doing, but yet you feel so connected that you can't live without them. So I called Xerox, who we were already a client of since I graduated. My IT company was a client of. And I said to them, "Hey, how do I become a mom-pop printer?" They said, "John, it's so simple. Come on, join us for breakfast and lunch, and we'll show you." Show me the machine. I fell in love with the machine. I said, "So what's it going to take, gentlemen?" "Well, it's really simple. We just need 150." So I reach in my pocket and I give him $150. He looks at me and he says, "No, John, you said 150. We meant 150. We talking thousand, 150,000. Ooh, that's a little more than I have in my pocket." I said, "I have to talk to my bank." So I go talk to my bank. My bank's supposed to stop you from doing stupid things. My bank said yes when they should have said no. So they said, "When do you want the money?" And so I said, "When I want the money, you could have it tomorrow." Oh boy. I decided to go back to Xerox and tell them, "Look, you know, guys, my credit wasn't as good as I thought it was. So I apologize. I really apologize. Remember, I got the money." And I said, "I just want to pay you for the breakfast and the dinner. What do I owe you? It's $100. What did I owe you for all that? Because, you know, obviously I'm not going to be a client of yours. So I feel bad." I knew what I was doing. This was my first serial entrepreneur move. And I said to he said, "Well, did you get the money?" I said, "Well, see, that's the thing. My credit wasn't as good as I thought. And I only got 130,000." He looked at me like, "130? Yeah, I know, I'm 20,000 short." "Yeah. Yeah, so what do I owe you? Let's just cut our losses and let's just move on." He goes, "Well, have a seat. You want coffee? You want donuts?" They always want to get you something. I said, "No, I don't want anything." I said, "I don't want to waste a lot of your time because obviously I'm not going anywhere today. And I just rather, like, I feel bad that you spent all this money on me. Have a seat, have a donut, have a juice, whatever." Goes to his guy, like the sales guy for the car dealership, runs the corner. He's doing all kinds of hand gestures. He says to me, he comes back to me, he's running back. He goes, "Mr. Morley, you are in luck." So, how am I in luck? I'm 20,000 short. Well, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but you see, Monday, the manufacturer is running a special on paper. $20,000 rebate on this machine or anything better starts on Monday. But my boss said, I can't, not going to tell anybody, I can give it to you today. So I said to him, I said, you know, I said, this is a lot for me. I need to go home and just digest and kind of decompress. I'll come back to you on Monday. It was Friday. So I did some thinking, came back. I said, there's another concession I want. I go to them. I say, you know, this is great. You know, I appreciate you helping me out, even though I didn't get the full amount of money. But you know, there's still a problem. I'm going to take this beautiful machine, but I'm not going to be able to use it. See, I'm an engineer. I'm not a printer. I'm not a graphic designer. I don't know fiery electronic imaging for squat. I wouldn't know if those were three letters in the alphabet or if they were something that would make me breakfast. He says, so what are you saying? You need a little training? I said, a little training. I need like 40 hours of training. And I know your training is what, like 20 grand? He's like, yeah. I said, so I'll tell you what. I said, why don't I just go away for now? Why don't I save some money? I'll come back when I have some money and then we could do the whole thing right. He's kind of not liking this. He goes over to his sales guy, runs back over to me again. He goes, you are in luck again. This is your lucky day.
Twice.
Yes. No, this is the second day, not the same day. So
Second
this is
day.
on Monday now. I said, what's going to happen now? I said, you're going to give me a little bit of time to help me out a little bit. He says, well, I forgot to tell you, I didn't even know this was included in the package. My boss just told me it's included. You get 40 hours of training, which is a $20,000 value, with delivery of the machine. So let me get this straight. For 130,000, I get the machine and I get 20,000 worth of training. But yeah, you get an education with it too. I said, wow. He says, when do you want to get going? I said, well, let me just think a minute. I'm just drinking my drink. I'm reviewing all this. I was like, okay, what's the interest rate? I'm going back all these things. I go, there's no interest. I said, So I'm kind of deliberating back and forth. I say, okay, well, if I decide to go forward, I mean, he's like, really, when could I get the machine if I decided to go forward? We could have it to you tomorrow. I said, well, tomorrow's not going to work for me because I'm busy tomorrow. Monday next week would work for me because I'm really tied up this week. We could have it for you Monday. What time do you want it? Well, you know, it would be really good if they could come on Friday to install the machine and they could come on Monday to train me and my staff. I think that would work well. We can do that. All right. Where do I sign? And I start to sign and the rest was history. So for 2 years, I failed. But I went to this company in New York and I said to them, hey guys, you know, we had a great run and we're done. I spent, Alan, 30 minutes trying to fire them. They didn't get the nice thing, like, you know, we had a great run, we're done. Finally, after a while, I said, guys, I'm trying to be polite, but you're not getting it. You're fired. The whole team's fired. Just before I said, when I was saying this, she said, well, you know, we spent all week working on a multi-billion dollar campaign for Jamboard that is going to put you on the map. You're going to be set for life. Would you like to hear and see it? No. No. I said, maybe you're not listening to what I'm telling you. Yeah, you said we're done. Right. We are done. Right. With the project and we're moving on to something. No. We are done. Like, we're finished. Like, we're not working together anymore. Huh? You are fired. They come back and say, John, you know, that's a little below the belt. That's low. I said, no, what's below the belt is taking my father and my money before I even graduated college to tell me you could help me become a multi-billion dollar company. And all you did was put me further in debt. Well, John, here's what we could do for you. I said, I'm not interested in what you could do for me. We're going to give you a discount on all the previous work you had and all the new work. So this way you'll have some residual to work with. I'm not interested. They learn I'm opening the company, like, oh, bro, that's really good of you. But you know, you don't know the first thing. I said, I'm gonna learn. Ooh, you're swimming with the sharks. And we like you. We don't want to see you swim with sharks because you're gonna eat alive. I said, maybe that's what I need. So the mindfulness came in because I've always been passionate about becoming a better version of myself and helping others, but I decided to do something about it. Now, I had a small cast on Blog Talk many years ago. Then I had a small radio show. And then I decided that I need to get this to another level. And that's when I decided to start becoming a passionate content creator. But there was another downfall. I brought my first sale to the station. I brought him, I think it was a $2 million sale. So I was supposed to get 60% of that. However, I didn't get 60% of that. I didn't get 10% of it. I didn't get 1% of it. I was going all around the station, always different people. Finally got to the end and say, oh, John, this is a really complicated situation. Well, when am I getting my? Well, that's the thing, you're not. Well, why? You see, the guy who you brought to us, by the way, we just got the check yesterday. Thank you very much. I'm missing some here. Well, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. And I have to get to lunch in a little while. So I'm trying to do this quickly. He didn't buy to be a sponsor on your show. He bought out your show for 2.3 million. I said, I didn't know my show spot was worth 2.3 million. We didn't either. So you sold me out? Yeah, but don't think of it like that, because we're friends. You're going to do so well someday. You are amazing what you do. We're just a little peanut station that put you on 40 states. So that kind of put a doldrum in me, made me step back for a year or two. And then after that, I decided to step back up. I said, maybe I should get more serious. I should get into video podcasting. I should forget the radio. Then I got back into doing some radio. And now my one podcast has, we had a milestone to reach 50,000. We did before Thanksgiving. And
Wonderful.
we're now at 87,000. Our goal, our next milestone is to reach 100,000 by Q1. We're ready. We'll be at 90 probably at the end of the month. And we believe once we hit 100,000, we can name our target because we want to start monetizing. We are monetizing now, but not big. I think we got a $30 check. We want to be, we want to get the big numbers. So we said when we hit 100,000, we'll open our show up to big sponsors like Verizon, AT&T. I already started pitching some of them saying, hey, there's not much time left before Super Bowl Sunday. And if you want to get on our show, you got to reach out to us because we don't have a lot of spots left. And that's kind of what we're doing now. We're just working on that. We're making 2024 the year that we monetize our shows because we love to create free content, but it's very expensive creating content. It's not cheap. And I post 18 times a day and I never get banned, Alan. Never get banned.
What do you post on?
Every single social platform you can imagine.
Really?
Yes. We added a new thing this last few months. We started doing reels. So now we do a reel in the morning, a reel at night. And I also write an article. So I've been a member of International Press now for 7 years this November. And so I've written close to 400,000 words since January. I love creating content. And so I got to the mindfulness because, and I'm also becoming a heart math. I'm becoming heart math certified in the next 4 weeks. I'll be heart math certified because I realized there was another language I didn't learn. I didn't know my heart had more connections to my brain than my brain did to my heart. For every connection my brain has to my heart has five to my brain. I said, I got to learn how this guy talks. So I got certified, got signed to take the heart math certification to learn how to communicate with my heart every day, how to breathe through my heart, how to become conscious of things in the world. And to me, every day and every night ends with meditation. It ends with gratitude. I have a gratitude rock that I use every single day and every morning. I have a new thing I just started doing now. Whenever you think there's negative energy, I took a water, a bottle. I wrote my intention on it. I put some salt in the water. I shake the bottle up and I use the bottle. I wrote my name and I wrote my intention and I use the bottle and I cleanse my name all around the world. So I believe a lot in energy. You remember Dachimori Morimoto?
The snowflake fella with the mental visualization changes the water molecules.
Yes, but it's not just the it's the so it's our energy. But the thing of this
So
is that it's not our mind that does it, which is what confused me. It's our heart that's doing it. See, our heart has a magnetism, and that heart is drawing in what we want, kind of like a magnet does. Wherever there's electricity, there's magnetism. Wherever there's magnetism, there's some type of current. And so I'm still learning the heart. But by the end of January, I'll be heart certified as a local heart certified. And then if I want to take it to, I'm not allowed to use the techniques online until I pay them more money and get certified as a, I guess they call it a public speaker. So that's another level. But I just decided to take it for me and maybe help 10 clients because the stuff is licensed. So I can talk about it in generalities, but I can't talk about the specifics because that's what the license agreement is. So I just got very passionate about things in life, speaking it, living it, believing it as if it is. I remember the first time I started counting. I started counting was in my bank account before it was there. I just started counting every night. I just started counting it before I go to bed. And I just count it as if it's there. And then I say, well, gee, what would I do if I have this in my account right now? And I still do that now. I'm like, well, what would I do if I had this much more? Now, what would I do with it? Who would I give it to? Who would I help? What would I buy my family? What else would I do? What else would I do if I, and I just play that game for 20 minutes. What car would I get next? What would I do with this car? Would I get a second car? What would I do? And I keep doing that. Now I'm playing the little game because I want to build a house. What would I do if I have this? And what would I want in that house? What would my bowling alley look like? What would my bar look like? Who's going to come and teach me how to bowl? What chef would I have come to my house to teach me culinary? Because I love to do culinary as a hobby. Who would I bring? What experiences would I create? What friends would I invite over? What kind of party would I have? What kind of pool would I have? Would I have one inside? Would I have one outside? Where would I put the tennis court? Where would I put the golf range? Like, I just kept thinking about all these different things. And so it's the energy that we're feeling. So we think it first, right? But nothing happens with thought alone. It starts there. Thought, as you just said, goes into energy. Energy, feelings go, actually, thought goes into feelings. Feeling goes into energy. Energy goes into manifestation.
Well, let's start with that conversation about the manifestation, starting with the thought that you're thinking. As
Yes.
you said a lot of things, John, that were really juicy, sweet things. I like the rock, the gratitude rock. That's the as I explore things, I realize that often people don't have that gratitude conversation.
And
It's
I'll show
more
you my
like,
other bottle I have real quick. I have a
okay.
bottle, which I do this every once in a while. Around the holidays, I do this. So it's just a plain bottle of water, nothing crazy. I have RO water, but it's nothing crazy. So I took a piece of paper. I don't know if you guys can see the paper in there, but there's paper in there. It's been there for a few days. And so I took the paper, I wrote my name on it, my exact name, my first name, my middle initial, my last name. And I wrote down my intention and I put it in this bottle. And every day and every night, I talk about this bottle. I shake this bottle almost like a prayer. And I was like, you know, wherever my name be said, wherever my name be heard, wherever my name be seen or even thought of, good favor just comes to it. And if there be any negative that be around my name, it'd be immediately abolished through our Creator. Because I know that the energy around my name is positive. And I know that the salt that I put into this water has been cleansing my name every single day. And it will continue to do this for as long as I do this, which is probably another 5 days. So I do that a couple times a year. And so it's a good thing to do before the end of the year. You cleanse. People say you cleanse your aura. Well, I cleanse my whole name because your name is what causes good and bad things. Oh, I hear my name. So whatever my name is thought of, whenever it is said, whenever it is spoken, whatever it is written, good favor comes to it.
The what I'm sensing is that you are using something, an energy beyond the physical,
Correct.
which I'm going to call it metaphysical,
Okay.
tapping into to a sea of power. It's not just a stream, it's a sea of power that you are downloading into the physical reality through physical manifestation of symbols.
Yep.
That are symbolic of what you want to manifest through your energy of the mind. And
Correct.
so you create physical objects like the bottle with the water with the salt. Is it just salt and water? Just salt water?
Yeah, it's just regular water and the paper. You can see the paper's all kind of shredded, and
Sure.
it's just a few teaspoons of salt in there.
Wow. because I recall Black Elk Speaks was a book. Black Elk Speaks was a medicine man in the 1800s, and he said that the life we live is like a dream. The physical reality that we live is like a dream. And if you wanted to manifest something, what could you do in the dream of this reality to tap into that power? And it sounds like you utilize that power to manifest. Plus, as you speak, you have the fire in the belly. You have the discipline. You have the laser-like discipline it takes to manifest things, rather than, well, someday I will, and yeah, I got an idea. I'm gonna write that book. Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna take that. No, but you do it.
That's why I don't do goals, Alan. So I mean, a lot of people say goals, and I kind of, if you notice, I don't really say that as much. The reason is because for me, goals don't happen. So goals are things that, like, okay, I'll start it. Well, we didn't accomplish it. All right, we'll just do another one. No, I don't do goals. Goals are a waste of my time. I make promises to myself that are going to happen.
That is a higher risk, because you can measure that. Whereas a goal, you can, yeah, we're going to get there. We're going to get there
That's
by
why I
the
don't do
end, by the end of December, we will have a 90,000 measurement counted. 90,000 will be there by the end of, and that's my promise that I'm making to my team, myself, and plus I'm telling the universe that that's what I want. You to give me.
Our promise was 100,000 by the end of March, but that is quickly evolving with now sitting at 89,000 right now. We're only 11,000 away from 100,000. We'll hit that a lot easier, a lot quicker than, and it gets more guests that want to come on the show. It gets other people interested. I have 20 books right now that I'm behind reading. And what I tell all my guests that come on the motivational show, Inspirations for Your Life, you can come on the show and I'll review your book, providing that you send me the book or give me the digital copy, and I will read your book cover to cover. And then you'll come on the show, not before. I promise to read every single book. That's a commitment.
Plus, when you have the book, you get deeper into the mind of the person who wrote the book, and so you can take your flashlight and shine it around and realize
Exactly.
what are
I
the
had a
depths.
gentleman, he know you might know him. His name is Colonel, oh, is it Colonel, Colonel, because Colonel Phelps, Colonel Wayne Phelps, yeah, he wrote the book, The Psychology of Killing Remotely with Drones.
No, I haven't read that one yet.
Well, my team said, oh, John will love to read this book because I was studying to get my drone license. In order to do YouTube and stuff, to do things that are monetized, you have to have a drone license. You can't just, like, you run a drone, it's illegal. So my team's like, oh, John will love this. He's going for his drone. This will be great. So I get the book. I almost have a heart attack. I read the book. I'm like, guys, did you even look at the car? No, we heard it was about drones. We thought you'd love it. The Psychology of Killing Remotely with Drones. Ooh. You guys, from now on, you got to run the titles past me. Like, you can't just, like, tell a guest. Oh, sorry, our bad. Sorry about that, John. I call the guy because I start reading it. And they set a date for him within, I don't know, 4 months, which is usually fine. I said, Colonel, I said, first of all, I want to call and say thank you. I'm very grateful that you're coming on our show, supposedly in 4 months, but I need to reach out to you to let you know that I need a little more time. I'm only about three chapters in, and your book is intense. Can we push this off to June? Yeah, sure. It's a little intense. And when I read the first two chapters and I heard, how was your day at work, honey? He's like, oh, my day was great. I killed 12 people. I have seven more to kill tomorrow. Can you pass the salt and the pepper? He's like, yeah, it's not for everybody. Yeah, I was expecting a technology book. But again, I promised to read your book, so I will. Just it's he said, yeah, a lot of people don't read the whole book. I said, well, I'm reading it. And I think, you've heard the thing, we change your words, you change your thoughts, you change your thoughts, you change your mind, you change your mind, you will in fact improve the quality of your life. I think a lot of people look at the fact, Alan, that what is here in our world right now, what you and I are seeing right now is reality. It's not. It's a perception. Just like your paint in a bucket. There might be paint in that bucket, might be empty, might, well, it is energy, there's energy in there. Or it could be a plethora of colors in there. Who knows? But it's a perception of mine. And so I could speculate on that can of paint for hours, thinking about all the different colors that could be in there, thinking about the different textures, right? Thinking about what it's going to be like. I don't know how to paint other than sipping paint. What it's going to be like the first time I try to take thought paint and I put it on my wall. What's going to go through my mind? And so this is what I do, Alan. I don't work every day. I creatively play. And if it doesn't work, I play some more. One of my best videos was a video I did a few years ago. And you probably all can recall playing with a jar of, not bubbles, bubble mixture. You can make bubbles with the wand. So at that time, we were sponsoring, we were using letters like they do in some of the programs. We don't do that anymore. But in the beginning, we're like, today's show is sponsored by the letter I. I said, I feel like we're a kids program. We got to stop doing that, like sponsoring things by the letters of the alphabet. So I was like, well, today is the letter I, and today we're going to remember that I is about imagination. So use your imagination. I said, remember when you were a kid and you had a bottle? Well, how did you feel when you opened that bottle and you made that first set of bubbles in the air? What was the difference between you feeling those bubbles and you just kind of having no emotion? The bubbles were different than how you created them. So why is it when we got older that we don't create those bubbles? Why is it that we don't create that magic? Is it adults? Is it no, it's our belief. It's people around us that are installing programs in ourselves that we don't want to run. See, a computer will run a program whether you wants to or not. People will run a program, which we do every day, our subconscious, whether we want to or we not. We don't. So you probably know Neville Goddard. Neville Goddard said something very, very amazing. I was studying him for a while. A lot of people say, I want this. I want $1 million. I want $10 million. I want $50 million. That's great. Or they say, hey, I have this money. But your subconscious says, hey, wait a minute. You're a liar. You don't have it. Yeah, but I'm sure. Yeah, but you don't have it. So just quit it. So how do you overcome that? And I think the way you overcome that is saying, look, this is where we are. And I don't have $10 million. I don't have $10 million. I don't have 10 million, just don't have $10 million. I don't have it. So I don't have it is what I'm focusing on. But my mind doesn't hear the dump. I don't have $10 million. I don't have $10 million. I don't have $50 million. I don't have it. And you just keep doning. Well, Neville Goddard said something very interesting. He had these people in the back of his Senate church, and he told everyone, I want you to go home and I want you to write down on a piece of paper, I will not climb a ladder. I want you to post that everywhere in your home. Then, what I want you to do is go to sleep. When you go to sleep, you're just about ready to go to that can I state. Close your eyes, relax, and just picture yourself, one hand over another, just climbing a ladder. Notice how it feels. Notice how that sensation is. When you get up, I will not climb a ladder. I will not climb a ladder. I will not climb a ladder. And do that every day. And then you know what happened? Well, he says, I have a meeting coming up. So the next meeting is, let's say, next Friday. Somebody comes and says, okay, everyone, I want to let you know something. Any of you here that have not climbed a ladder, please leave. Please leave. When you've climbed a ladder, come back. Go home, write down, I will not climb a ladder, and picture yourself climbing a ladder, but don't intentionally climb a ladder. So one of the people told their story. They were just doing something during the day, helping a neighbor. And all of a sudden, they're like, they went up a ladder. I'm like, oh, I just went up a ladder. Oh. So your subconscious is running your body. So what he said is that if we understand this logic, okay, and we picture what we want, the subconscious is going to direct us into opportunities, synchronicities, because there are no coincidences in life. There are none. And so that aligns us. And so that was his whole thing that, so that he said, when you've climbed the ladder, come back and I'll teach you the next lesson. And I thought that was fascinating.
I like behind me you see the paint bucket, and the paint bucket has thought paint on it. And the idea is what you visualize, our paint in your mind's eye is directly exactly the same as what you see on the outside. So if I had in my mind's eye that people, I was raised in a family, John, that my father, he wore a hat. And I loved my father. And my father had, it was a white hat with a blue brim on it. And it had a little white and white and red logo thing on top of it. And he loved it. He was fishing in it, wore it all the time. And I didn't know you before our original conversation, but you know what? I like you. You are a very nice person.
Thank you.
And well, unfortunately, there's two stories. The second story is my father wore a white hat and had a blue brim on it, and he beat me
Oh, I'm
a
sorry to hear that.
lot. And when I saw you, John, I almost turned the whole damn thing off because I thought you were just a lousy mother that wasn't going to make a contribution. Yeah, and I didn't make the connection with my father, but now that I think about it, yeah, I got that. Yeah. And so we see in the moment the past. We don't see in the moment what's there. It's we are blocked. Our vision is blocked through a veil of our conditioning. And so the object then is to be able to uncondition. Well, what's the conditioning? The conditioning are the thoughts.
The thoughts,
Yeah.
they say it comes from, we learned this from NLP.
Yep.
The mind is not the territory. That's why a lot of times you have a bad situation or you remember something or you have people. A lot of times I get them on the show and I'm like, well, I don't want to talk about that. So, well, I don't need to know about your situation. I'm going to do some exercises with you in your head and just tell me, how do you feel about the situation? Like, I don't know. Well, let's do it again. And we have to basically cause the mind to not trigger that emotional response, that feeling.
And for me, in order not to trigger it, you need to be embodied. You need to be heart-centered. You need to be in your
Yes.
body, not lost in the thoughts inside your head. And so the work needs to be done of disconnecting from the thoughts, which begin the manifestation of the outer world, to just getting into our body where there are no thoughts.
Correct, correct.
And
Yes.
then when you're in our body, we're grounded. And to me, we have access to that universal field of awareness when we are able to just get into our body. And I call it, I use the idea of erasing the thoughts, just erase
Okay.
it. So you have a tabula rasa, you have a blank slate.
Okay. All right.
And
Okay.
so I'm in the moment of creation without prejudice. I'm
Okay.
present. I'm present
Okay.
without judgment. And that's mindfulness. Mindfulness is to be in the moment with John, in my body, playing and having fun, non-judgmental, and I would speak as if I was God. I would speak as if I'm a compassionate being, not Alan. Oh, Alan, he had a lot of issues, complaints, da da da. But I'm going to role play in my mind. I am. If I was God, what would I say to John? If I was God, the Son of God, what would I say in this situation? How would I act in this situation? If I was, well, then all of a sudden you'll notice that you have a lot more love, a lot more compassion, a lot more patience, a lot more relaxation, a lot more grounding, a lot more clarity, a lot less stress, strain, body. You live longer. You know, there's so many benefits because you've erased all the grievances and all the complaints about what is. And when you can erase all the complaints and all the grievances, all there left is just this space of love.
You erased what is a perception, even though it affects us individually, it doesn't affect someone else that way. So they can't understand why when a cop car comes, now I don't speed. But all of a sudden, that cop car has this negative, like they get a sign, I'm like, okay, I see there's a cop car, something's
You
happening.
bet.
They're like, oh my gosh, I'm like, what's wrong? Oh, my heart's just like, what's wrong? Are you okay? I said, do you speed a lot? Oh my gosh, I'm always getting pulled over. I was like, oh, okay. So they have a negative association. Just like with the police, I'm friends with the police. I'm friends with the police. Like, are you nuts? You just go on the bus. I said, I just walk in. I remember it was National Cake Day, and I do funny things with National Ice Cream Day. So I went to Baskin Robbins, and my company, my media company, designed the picture for the top of the cake. They printed the cake for us. I brought it out there, and I did something. I said, hey, I'm doing something you shouldn't do, guys. I'm walking into the police department. Now I'm coming in unannounced. Something you probably shouldn't do, but hey, I know the police department. They know who I am. Let's see if they welcome me in. Hey guys, how are you this morning? So we are recording. Hope you don't mind. We have a little surprise for you. What kind of surprise? Well, why don't you come on out and we'll show you? They're a little bit, I think. So I hope you guys didn't tell them I'm coming. You better not. So then we come inside and we're like, it's like, we just wanted to wish you guys a very happy, healthy National Ice Cream Cake Day. And we want to thank you for all that you do. And like, oh, well, thank you, man. Like, they were like, and when I tell people I did, they're like, you're nuts. I said, yes, but I did it with the intention. And that intention is what got me to not get in trouble. My intention of for good. They're like, you're nuts. I'm also a first responder. They're like, you're still nuts. And I think sometimes for me, it's not them seeing me doing it. Like if I do some charitable things, I don't like them to know I do it. I like to see how the people are from a fly on the wall without them knowing I did it. That's what I get enjoyment out of. So mindfulness to me was something that was important because I felt like my life was being run by someone else. And I said I needed to get control back, but I also needed to be able to manifest and create things, not just for me, but for others, my family, my friends, and to help them. And whenever I get somebody that's negative, I say, hey, look, I understand you're having a challenge in your life. I get it. It happens. Why don't you reach back out to me when you're feeling better and we'll hang out again? It happens a second time. I say, look, remember what I said the first time? So, look, I get you're going through a divorce, all these things. I'm sorry to hear that. Reach out to me 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Whenever you're back, I'll be happy because they don't want to be better. They just want to complain. So, the second time happens, third time happens, they do it again. I said, okay. I remember what I said first, the second time. I said, yep. So, we're done. Huh? I'm just not going to hang around a negative person or an attitude like this. So if you do change your ways, you could try to reach out to me, but I don't have time for negative people. Huh? And they think you're like nuts. So I think you have to make the decision that you are of a high value and that you need to put yourself around positive people with positive energy. And that's your choice. That's your right to do that. Just like it's your right to have abundance, it's your right to be around good people. You're going to find negative people. It's going to happen, unfortunately. So when it happens, I was like, I understand you may be going through something. And obviously, you might have a reason for saying that. Would you mind sharing it with me? Huh? Well, I was just curious what's going through your mind. And they walk away. Because they're not looking to address what's going on in their mind, they're looking to complain about it. They don't want to make it better, Alan.
I wrote down the other day the idea of your complaints and grievances equal no joy, no satisfaction in the moment. But people hold on to their complaints. So often people complain. And from the egoic point of view, the Eckhart Tolle, he talks about people who complain. He says people who complain, the ego complains.
Yes.
The being does not complain. The being lives in gratitude. Comes from
Yes.
gratitude. So that's what I
Yes.
like about
Yes.
the rock. It's that you have a grounding part of the day in which you have gratitude for life, for love, for being alive. And that just is a key to that spiritual grounding, but set being centered and balanced and not being what you have you're mentally disequilibrium. You're not balanced. Your body is your thoughts, and you want to be mental equilibrium,
Yeah,
mental
yep,
balance. And I
yep, yep.
bet the heart work that you're doing has a lot to do with harmony between the energies within the body focused on the heart in order to give you that that access to that energy, which you talk about coming from the heart and out into the world, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing just knowing the different things. Like they're teaching us different levels, and I figure, well, how much can this do this? And I remember, I think there was something I had going on. It was a little bit of anxiety from something, and I said, I'm going to do this breathing technique that they showed us. I said, I'm just going to try this. It can't hurt. And I did the breathing technique, and within about 5 minutes, I felt amazing. I think around the holidays, we all can kind of admit to this that we get a little bit wound. We get a little strong because things
Sure.
happen. So I had a national neurosurgeon on, and my theme for the week was how to avoid burnout. Because if you don't, and you don't take the rest when your body's saying, "Hey, you gotta take the rest, take the rest, take the rest," it will make you take a rest, but it won't be a rest that you want to take.
That's right.
And so I think we have to, just like we have to be good to others, we have to be good to ourselves, our bodies, our lives. And so when we can understand a purpose, when we can understand a mission, why we do something or why we're part of something, like I also lead a 501c3, a charity. And we had our annual holiday sweets and treats Wednesday night. We had about 45 people. And it was a free event. And I had people call me like, well, I just want to come and I just want to walk around. What do you mean? Well, you need to bring an unwrapped toy and you need to bring a holiday sweet or treat. Yeah, well, I just want to come around. I want to just bring some flyers around because, I do like tattoo work for kids and parties. And I was just wondering if I can just come around. I said, well, that's not what we're about. Oh, okay. So when could I do that? Well, you could join us. And, we're about relationships. So let me explain what I mean by that. So there are a lot of chambers that do what we call, business card throw in your face kind of thing. See, we don't really do that here. And if you do that, our members are gonna frown upon you. Oh, yes. So you might have heard the story where one guy goes on the boat. I've been on the boat before many years ago. It's actually over 20 some years ago. I went on the boat. In fact, the boat back then was $30 before time and $50 at the dock. Now it's $50 online and it's $95 at the dock. It's a three-story boat. Get on the boat and talking to some people. You network with a few people, you get some business cards. All of a sudden, a lady or gentleman comes up to you and says, "Hey, can you take my card? Take my card. I okay. Excuse me, I'm still talking with this gentleman. Okay, well, just put it in your pocket and call me later. Okay, sir. Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'll be happy to take your card. I'll be more than happy to do that. But understand that when I take your card, okay, your card is actually going to go in my left pocket instead of my jacket pocket." He goes, "I don't care where you put it." Well, maybe you don't care about the positioning of the card, but you should. Because all the cards that are in the left pocket, okay, those are the ones that I get from people like you. All the ones up here in my vest pocket, well, they stay there. All the ones in my left pocket, as soon as I get off the boat, I just take my hand and I just drop them right in the garbage. You see, there's a way of networking and there's a rude way of networking. If you'd like it to go up here, come back to me when we finish in 5 minutes. You look at me like, and I was talking to the person. I said, "So some people just don't get it." I said, "But I am very strict in this when we're talking." And then one person says, "Well, I want to interrupt because I'm missing." I said, and the lady says, "I'm against that concept because you could be missing a point." I said, "No, that's rude. See, I don't go for that." She says, "Well, you could be missing a big opportunity." Yeah, but that's being rude. So when I did that, and so now whenever I go to certain events, like, "Oh yeah, you're that wacky guy that doesn't like to take cards unless we talk to you." I said, "Yeah, I'm not in the business of collecting business cards. I want to get to know who you are." So my slogan at our chamber is, "We're making our community better one day at a time, but we do it through relationships. We want to know who your dog is, your cat is. We want to know who you are. We want to know what your business is. I want to know why you got started in your business. I want to know about your passions in life. I don't want to know how many business cards I can get at the meeting. I want, when we leave that meeting, for you to know something about me that you could share with another member or another prospective member, as opposed to, 'Hey, I collected 22 business cards. No, I met with John and he talked to us about a technique that could possibly save my life.' Or I met with Chris and Chris showed me something that I didn't know I could do with health insurance." So these are the kinds of things. And I think A lot of people are in that. There's two stations you may know, Alan. It's called WIIFM
Yep.
and WIIFY.
I know FM. I don't know FY.
So WIIFM is What's in It for Me. That's the station everybody listens to. It's a high fidelity station. And there's WIIFY, What's in It for You. That's the station we need to be turning to, because when we think about what we can do for the other person, like Dale Carnegie said, we have to strive to become. He told us two things. One, we have to know how to say the person's name. Now, your name is very easy, but suppose I didn't know your name and it was a hard name. I'm like, could you do me a favor, Alan? Could you? I don't want to botch that beautiful last name. Would you spell Karanalka? Yeah, could you say that? Am I saying that correctly? Great. I want to make sure I say it properly because I know your name is probably the most important thing to you. Well, thank you, John. Well, I know I appreciate my name. Sure, no problem. And if I get it wrong, just let me know. I want to make sure I say it correctly. Oh, well, thank you. You're welcome. So listen, then I get that off and I was like, I might ask a question like, what do you think about the event today? Oh, it's very nice. And you're local? Oh, yeah, very local. Great. And I see you've got a nursing badge on. Great. I was just curious, just so I get to know you a little better. What is it that made you want to get into nursing? And you shut up. And you listen. And you hear something. And then you just become interested. And they're like, well, John, what about you? Well, your story is amazing. I mean, I don't know that's incredible. Well, what do you do? Well, I do a lot of things. I help people. You help people. I help them in a lot of different ways. I help them become better versions of themselves, and I help myself become a better version of myself. Well, what do you do? Well, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I said, I'm not wanted in any states, except in a good way. So what does that mean? Well, so I'm a business owner, but I'm more than a business owner because see, an entrepreneur is passionate about what he or she does. And it's not in it for the money, is in it for the reason of helping and providing a better quality product and service. Oh, what does a serial entrepreneur do? Well, it's just like an entrepreneur, but an entrepreneur has figured out a way to operate the business in a passionate manner, other than just keeping the lights on and the compliances and the regulations. A serial entrepreneur says, hey, there's a problem going on. Like I started a marketing, advertising, and video production company. And I started that because nobody could market my IT company. So I found a challenge in the marketplace, and I realized other people are having this challenge too. And they're getting buffaloed by billion-dollar companies, which is why I wrote the article, How and Why I Fired a Multi-Billion-Dollar Advertising Company. I was supposed to get on a podcast a few weeks ago. And it's the first time the guy called me. He says, John, he says, you have great credentials, but we're going to pass on you. I said, well, I said, okay. I said, may I ask why? Yeah, you actually represent all the stuff we don't want to talk about. We don't want to share the fact that advertising agencies are wrong because I represent many of them. I said, okay, so you don't want to talk about truth? Not really.
That's great. I wanted to go down two more tunnels before we complete.
Sure.
One of the tunnels is you talked about breathing, and
Yes.
breathing to me is step one. If you have to figure out one way of entering that field of infinite bliss, breathing seems to be the coin of the realm. And
Yes, it's a very good way.
you mentioned a breathing exercise that you did. Can you share that with us?
So I can share the general. I can't share the HM ones because they're licensed, but I can share some that I've done in Silva. So one of the things I tell people to do, it's a really easy thing to do.
So let's
You
do it
basically
right
just,
now for the audience. So the
yep, I
audience
can
is
do this right
there.
now for the audience.
They're
Yep, I can
not
do a Silva.
driving the car, but
Yeah, just
they're
make sure you're not driving, that you are home somewhere safely or in your office or somewhere where you're not going to be disturbed for a couple minutes.
Yep.
All right, put your phone on vibrate or turn it off. And so what you do is just kind of get comfortable in your chair or, in your bed, wherever you are. And so what I want you to do right now is I just want you to just focus on a spot on the wall. Just look across the room and find a spot on the wall. And try to keep from blinking as long as possible. And as you look at that spot, you might just notice that the spot maybe is not as sharp as it was when we started. That's okay. Just look at it and just relax. Now, what I want you to do is just going to just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, and I want you now just to picture and visualize the number three times in your mind, three times. Hold it for count of three and just exhale. Mentally repeating and visualizing the number three times in your mind, and you are now at a physical level, level three. Level three is actually starting us off for our basic relaxation or physical relaxation. I'm going to take a deep breath now and inhale. Mentally repeat and visualize the number two times in your mind and go ahead and exhale. And now we're going to do the number one. Inhale. Mentally repeat the number one three times in your mind. Hold it for count of three. Exhale. And as you exhale, I want you to close your eyes. And as you just sit, I want you just to become aware of the sounds around you. Maybe how your body feels against the chair, your clothes feel against your skin, temperature in the room, and not really judge anything, but just notice how you feel. How does your back feel against the chair or against whatever it's at, or if it's just against the air? How do you feel right now? And I want you just to notice your heart for me for a moment. I want you to just take your dominant hand and put it over your heart right now. And I want you just to notice your heart. Not try to change it, just notice it. And I want you just to realize that your heart is more than an organ that pumps blood and keeps you alive. Your heart is an intelligence center, which actually is the brain of your body. I want you right now, as I'm going to count backwards very slowly as you hold your heart, 10 to 1, I just want you to allow yourself just go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you can put your hand to your side. And I want you now just to picture one of the challenges you're having in your life. It could be with yourself, a relationship. Could be a financial matter. I want you to picture it for me right now. I want you to surround that with a cloud. And I want you just to allow that cloud to very effortlessly just kind of go back and forth as it just kind of just drifts all the way up into space till you can't find it anymore. Find another problem that you're having and just picture in a cloud. Just let that happen. And I want you just to keep doing that, another thought that you want to get rid of, and just let it go back and forth. It feels so nice to just gently relax. Keep doing that. It just keeps taking all the stress and tension and all those challenges out of your body, just putting them into the higher universe so that when they return back to you at some point in time, they'll come back to you with a solution. Now, in a moment, I'm going to count up from 1 to 5. When I count up from 1 to 5, you're going to be wide awake. You'll be in perfect health. You'll feel much better than you did before. You'll have no ill effects whatsoever in your head, no buzz in your ears. Your eyesight, your vision, and your hearing will improve every single time you function within these levels of the mind. You desire it, and it's completely so. One, start to feel the energy coming up slowly into your toes and all the way up into your shins. 2.5, coming up into your knees. 3, coming up all the way into your thighs. 3.5, coming up into the groin area. 4, coming up into the lower chest. 4.5, coming all the way up past the heart, the lungs, and into the neck, and up to your face, nose, and eyes. 5, eyes open, wide awake, feeling fine, in perfect health, feeling much better than you did before. And may the rest of your life be the best of your life.
Ah,
How do you feel?
feel like I'm in an oasis with the
And
water.
that was just a short thing, but you can do that anytime that you just have all these burdens around you. Just picture them going into clouds, those challenges. Let them just go up and let the higher universe solve them. And then they will be gently brought back to earth with a solution for you in divine time.
Well, Well, I think this might be a good time to complete our conversation, John C. Morley. You certainly have a knowledge, a wide variety of things that you have accomplished, and I love the fact that you are using it for the forces of good in the world, that you are manifesting goodness in the world, and that has to be in an alignment with the benefits of mindfulness. So I want to thank you, John, today for sharing with our audience the Mindful You podcast about the journey that you've done and all the discoveries and all the forms that you have created that allow people access to this, I'll call it spiritual energy of consciousness, mindfulness, in which brings healing and love into the world. So thank you very much for being a guest today on the Mindful You podcast.
It was my privilege and pleasure, and this is also what about 20 years drove me to become a Reiki level 2 master. So that's another great thing to help channel energy. Energy is all around us, so we just have to realize and embrace it, because energy, basically our energy can travel within about 3 to 4 feet. So when you radiate good energy, other people can feel the energy. You can't change them, but you can change how you are, and your energy will affect them, just like electrons and protons do in the world every day. Again, it was a privilege and pleasure and honor. I am John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur. I invite you to check out Believe, BELIEVE, me, ME, achieve, ACHIEVE.com, for lots of my great free information, my podcast, Inspirations for Your Life, my weekly articles, and just lots of content and knowledge and nuggets that you can choose to apply to make yourself more mindful, that you can choose to make your life better for yourself and for others. And if we could start with the choice that it's us, that we're the ones that have to change, not someone else, that's when our life really changes. As Patanjali says, and I will leave us with this, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. When we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. And I learned this originally from Dr. Dwayne Dyer. Rest his soul, who actually taught it to us from Patanjali's, but wonderful man. He said, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. So today, I want you to look at things in a positive light. If you see something not going right, I want you to ask yourself, what can I learn from this experience? Maybe it's traffic, maybe it's somebody yelling at you, whatever it is. Take a positivity out of it. Maybe you broke a glass. Maybe you dropped something. The other day, I broke a plastic pitcher. You know what I said to myself? It's a plastic pitcher. I'm going to throw it out. And you know what I learned from that? I learned that it's probably time to buy a new plastic pitcher. But what I really learned from it is that it's just a thing, and it has no bearing on my life. It's my feelings and thoughts that affect how I truly am and how others see me.
Thank you, John. You're a blessing to the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for listening. And please catch us on the next great episode of the Mindful You podcast. And please share us with your friends and fellow travelers on the path.